You're listening to Irish Sports Talk.
Hello, Notre Dame fans. Welcome to Irish Sports Talk. This is episode 482, and the sky is falling.
That's what I was going to say, Ruben.
It's pathetic. Everything, Notre Dame, they may as well be 0-2, according to a lot of fans out there. And everyone is just thinking that the season's over. You know, what's the point of playing? Is the way that it seems, anyway. We're going to talk about that. Are you concerned? Why are you concerned with Notre Dame's win on Saturday moving forward, or why are you not concerned with the way Notre Dame played on Saturday? We'll be going through that. We'll be talking about what we got right, what we got wrong. We'll be talking about some other or another game that you watched on Saturday. But we want to start off with some of your feedback. On Instagram, Randall posted a question what your thoughts were about the game. And we got a couple of responses, hence the opening line about the sky is falling. And so I'll just read a couple of them. They range from awful, but a win, meh, awful, Wimbush, terrible, to things like Wimbush needs to figure something out during Vanderbilt or he'll see the bench. We better not do this against Vandy. Disappointing, but we need a real QB, not a glorified running back. Is Ian Book really that bad? Start him. We need to figure out the quarterback situation. Did we actually win? So those are some of the response. There was a handful of other ones as well. Andy played like crap. Right to the point.
Wimbush era is over. Put in Phil.
All right. So, Randall, we were watching the game together, and throughout the game, I was disappointed Notre Dame didn't do better on defensively. I thought they were very solid, especially considering how many plays Ball State was able to run. And it did seem like Ball State played very well. They were able to convert. They were able to move the chains, and I thought credit goes to them. I thought the defense played very well, and they did. But the Ball State offense did a really good job as well, and they deserve a lot of credit for really stretching this defense. But anyway, so throughout the game, I just wasn't that concerned. I thought Wimbush wasn't running the football. There weren't a lot of designed run plays. And to me, this just looked like Notre Dame doing a couple things. The coaching staff, number one, protecting Brandon Wimbush. Because I don't care what you say, the fact or the truth is, the more Wimbush runs, the more likely or the sooner he's going to be injured and be out. Yeah. And as much as everyone seems to hate Wimbush, he gives Notre Dame the best shot at beating teams like Michigan, Stanford, USC, Virginia Tech. He's the one that is going to get Notre Dame past those teams. In 2012, without Golson, would Notre Dame have been undefeated? I don't think anyone would say that, oh yeah, with only Reese at quarterback, Notre Dame would have won every game in 2012.
Yeah, well, I was thinking about it today, and I was like, my opinion probably isn't going to be popular with a lot of people because right now we're frustrated with this game. And honestly, I am frustrated. I wanted a big win. I did, but I'm not that concerned about it. Were you ever in doubt that Notre Dame was going to lose the game, that Notre Dame was going to win the game?
With about 5 minutes left in the fourth quarter, it crossed my mind that Notre Dame, it's possible. It's a possibility that Notre Dame could lose the game.
Yeah. Well,
but it was a fleeting thought.
Here's kind of how I look at it. I guess you could say we got it wrong because we expected this to be practice for the backups, second and third string guys. When in reality, I think this was practice for the first string guys. And there was a lot of things on the forums. We had a conversation about it, and I like how Solon said it. He said basically this was just throwing a bunch of crap against the wall and seeing what would stick. This wasn't normal. The thing, and here's what, we so quickly forgot what they did against Michigan. We're singing their praises. Now all of a sudden when they have a glorified practice and the final score is close, we're all worried about it when we shouldn't be. Yes, there are concerns. There's a couple positions, we'll get into that some more, that I'm really worried about. But I think, you know, they weren't that excited about the game. Notre Dame fans weren't either. It was just one of those things. I think it's like Brian Kelly said, they got the win. They tried some things and they clearly didn't work, and it's time to move on to the next game. And I don't think this has any indication, I mean, on how the rest of the season, it's not like all of a sudden we went from Notre Dame winning 11 games to now they're barely going to win 6. I mean, it's just, it's not. I think they tried a lot of things and to see what would work, and clearly a lot of things didn't work. And one of the, you know, obviously one of the big concerns with that issue is that I don't like is now teams can see where Notre Dame struggles, and so they know where to attack. They have film on it. And some of these guys were on the field for a lot of plays, these starters. Some of the defensive players never came off. And so now you've got the issue. It comes back to what's going to happen in November because these guys were playing the entire game.
And this was a game that we talked about, that this is a great opportunity to rest some of those guys, especially guys on defense that you don't need to get more experience, like Drew Tranquil, Tavon Coney, Tillery.
So that is one concern I have where I think they went a little overboard. I mean, they should have put him away earlier, but they tried to do with Brandon Wimbush, what Wimbush tried to do, that all of a sudden he's this horrible quarterback, and we forget what he did against Michigan, against one of the best defenses in the country.
Some other reasons not to be so concerned. In 2012, Notre Dame barely beat Purdue second week of the season. 2017 came away with the win. They barely beat Pitt. There was a missed call by the ref, or Notre Dame would have lost to Pitt when they had too many men on the field on the field goal. It was a field goal missed by Pitt, and Notre Dame had an extra man on the field. It took three overtimes to beat Pitt. There was just Notre Dame isn't Alabama. You know, they're not going to blow out every team they should blow out. But the important thing is, at least they won. It wasn't like, was it 2010 or 2011 when Notre Dame lost to Tulsa? You know, this is a different. Notre Dame is past that phase, at least.
Yeah. This is the first time that Notre Dame starts the season 2-0 since 2015. So in 3 years, this is the first time they're starting 2-0. But I'm clearly trying to find the positives in all this. But like Clemson, their championship year, they almost lost to Troy. Ohio State lost to a bad Virginia Tech team when they won the championship. So don't trying to get you guys excited about football and. Did you listen to the press conference when Brian Kelly was, when the one reporter asked about the defense? Like, now here's a positive question. I wanted to give him a front row seat and was calling out some of the other reporters, saying like, "Hey, this is how you do it." Brian Kelly was tired of hearing the negativity, which he should have heard it. I'm not going to say that. I'm not going to say it should be all pipe. We want the questions answered. We want to hear those answered, but. There's positives, a lot of positives in this game as well.
I would much rather Notre Dame build on a game like this where they at least won than build against a loss to a really good team. I mean, Notre Dame is better off building on this than Michigan was building off the week one loss to Notre Dame. Yeah, Michigan went and destroyed Eastern Michigan or whoever they were playing.
Western Michigan.
But they're 1-1 with a loss to Notre Dame. Notre Dame's in a much better position. They can build off this bad win, for lack of a better term. And Notre Dame wasn't creative in the offense at all offensively. And they didn't. They probably underestimated Ball State. I do think that was probably a little bit of blame goes on the coaches for that.
And Brian Kelly took the blame for that. And one thing I'll point out with that yet. I just thought about it this week. We want the team to be excited. Clearly, the team didn't look at this as a faceless opponent like Brian Kelly tried to say last week. They clearly knew it was Ball State, and they had a hangover from the Michigan game. But was the atmosphere in the stadium the same as the Michigan game? Were us fans creating the same atmosphere? No. I didn't even want to go to the game.
In fact, we even talked about
I could have gone to the game, had tickets to go to the game, but I let somebody else go, and Randall, we watched it at your place.
We even talked about how we would games like this are kind of tough to pick and choose because, you know, the one opponent is so vastly inferior, and there's not... We thought it was going to be strength on one side versus all weaknesses on the other side. It wasn't, Michigan's defensive line is going to be a really good test for Notre Dame's rebuilding offensive line and you know, Shea Patterson versus Notre Dame's linebackers. It wasn't that kind of a thing.
Yeah.
It ended up being that kind of a thing, but it wasn't going into it from fans' perspective.
Yeah. Okay. We've tried to find the positives in it. One that you mentioned, the offense didn't have a lot of
creativity.
Yeah. One thing I noticed the offense I want to talk about was that the first drive they came out and it looked like this was going to be a cakewalk. And last week Brian Wimbush talked about how they practiced the first 9 plays of the game, and then they did it again. Start of the second half, they came out and scored right away. This was something we talked about before
Chip Long
showed up, and the complaint we had in the 4-8 season,
yeah,
was that they would come out, look really good until they got away from those scripted plays, and then there was a huge drop off. And it seemed like we saw a little bit of that in this game. It seems like obviously the plays that they have planned beforehand, they're very good at. But when they get away from that and start doing other things and maybe go call plays according to what the defense was doing and things like that, they kind of got away from that and weren't moving the ball. Clearly, it has to do with the players as well, but they do much better when those scripted plays. So I'm like, might as well script the entire first quarter.
And a lot of that is through you have the defense a little more on their heels. They're not able to...
True.
They need to do a lot more...
They haven't adjusted either.
Yeah, they don't have the chance to sit back and look at what's going on. You go up a lot more. It's much more up-tempo, typically, on those opening drives Notre Dame has had.
Yeah. Well, I think that's still one thing that's a little bit different from Notre Dame is that first drive, they're often very aggressive, and they want to score right away, and they lose some of that aggression. And I think that's... Notre Dame has never, they don't have these 70, they don't score 70 points a game. They've never done that like some of these other schools do. And that's just how Notre Dame coaches have done it. But it seems like they know they're playing lesser opponents, so they start trying new things. It's never this thing, let's just go out there and see if we can score 70 points. But.
So concerns, that's one concern. I think offensive line... This was a concern since spring, even before spring, when you knew you were losing McGlinchey and Elmer, or Nelson, I mean, and then on top of that also offensive line coach being replaced, you knew there was going to be growing pains and the performance was going to be lower than what we'd become used to.
Yeah, that is definitely my one concern because unlike the quarterback, the rest of the offense, we saw what they did against Michigan, and then they come out and did, you know, look completely different against Ball State. You know, they were trying new things. The offensive line has struggled against Michigan, and they struggled against Ball State. They haven't shown us that they can do anything.
But and here's what the answer to that question, Randall, the answer to that concern from a fan's perspective is that Brandon Wimbush, his ability to run the ball is going to help the offensive line because the defense is going to have to be a little more prepared for him running the football when he does run the football.
True.
Or when he passes the football and is able to make the completions. And again, in 2 weeks, he has hit, for the most part, I feel like he's hit the receivers that are out in the flats and guys that are open, those short passes, I think is much improved over last year.
Question, didn't we say last year that if he gets over 50% completion rate that he'd be a good quarterback, that they could win games?
I don't know if it was just 50, but...
We said that's what he needed to do, is get over 50%, and he's done it in both games.
Yeah.
And even in this game, when, you know, he didn't even use his running, which I think he has to run the ball to be a good passer.
I think he's definitely most effective, but I don't think it was a bad idea. And in fact, if I would have been the coach,
I'll show you why I think it was, well.
The reason, if it would have been my decision, I would have tried to put Brandon in situations where primarily he's the passer, because when he is running the football, there aren't as many question marks. What needs to be ironed out is when he is set up in the pocket and is not able to use his feet. And so it would have been my decision to keep him in the pocket and throw the football.
Yeah.
And now it ended up being a lot much closer game. And
I wouldn't have done that.
You would have ran him just like you normally would.
Yes.
He's not going to last the season.
He didn't anyways. He got killed on. He got hit how many times? What was the difference? Why try to make him a quarterback that he's not?
Because
the name I keep hearing when we're talking about this quarterback is, I've heard it from other people, is Tony Rice. We all know how good Tony Rice was at Notre Dame. And we still talk about him as a great Notre Dame quarterback. You know what? He couldn't pass. If he stayed in the pocket, he could not throw the ball. He had the same issues Brandon did. He had to run the ball to be an effective quarterback. And that's what Brandon Wimbush does. And I don't think there was any reason to bench him at all. I mean, it was even more confirmed. I did go last year. I did not watch any NFL besides one game. And I did actually watch a little bit this weekend, so I kind of broke my vow there. But it was crazy. You started watching NFL. Ben Roethlisberger had 3 turnovers in the first half. And obviously that's different than college. I mean, you know what you've got. He's been the quarterback. He's been there for years. You know exactly what you got, and so it's one game. And it's a lot. You're quicker to move on to the next quarterback in college.
Yeah.
But good quarterbacks make mistakes as well.
Hey, but you glossed over something I wanted to comment on.
Okay.
Why do you put Brandon in a situation where he's not as effective as he is naturally? Because you want to make him better. And if he becomes a better passer through games like this, then that makes Notre Dame a better team in November and in the bowl season, hopefully playoff run. Which that, I mean...
No, this is how I look at it. If you play basketball... You enjoy playing basketball. If I was coaching you, I wouldn't get you to go out and go to the driving range and hit a bucket of golf balls to try to improve your basketball game.
But that's a different sport. This is the same sport,
but
they build
that's
the running
an exaggeration.
Game, that's a vast exaggeration. The running game builds off, and the passing game, they do work together.
Okay, fine. We'll keep it in basketball. If you're a point guard,
and you're trying to get me to post up.
Well, that would work. I mean, clearly you're going to do... It's harder to do that. I'm trying to think of an example. But what I'm saying is, what's the point? You need to build his confidence. You want to practice. You want to make him a better quarterback. Put him in a situation... Because now, going into the next game, he's going to be, like, questioning whether he should run or try to throw the ball because...
I disagree.
Because he's not practicing his decision-making. And that's where he struggles. It's not his passing, it's his decision-making. Brian Kelly mentioned it, too.
Put him in a situation.
He was a good passer. It was his decision-making that was bad.
All right, we'll continue this on this note. All right, we were briefly interrupted, and I kind of forget
right in the middle of our rant, or my rant. But basically what I was saying, Brandon Wimbush struggled making decisions. It wasn't his passing. Brian Kelly mentioned it, too. And so... Now I think they made it harder for him to make a decision in big games on whether he should run or try to throw the ball.
And I totally see your point, because you're trying to improve Brandon Wimbush as a whole. And the way I viewed it is working on the spurs that need to be cleaned up in his game.
Yeah.
All right. But the reason I still think, if he's given the green light to run the ball... And if the plays are called in a way that is much more advantageous to his style, he's going to be fine. And the proof of that is in the opening drive of the second half. When he started off with the run, it puts the defense on their heels because now they really You need to account for him as a runner, but also in the passing game too, because I really, we can get into it more, but I thought he threw the ball pretty well.
Yeah.
There was a couple, especially a couple passes where he just dropped it in, medium range passes, he just kind of dropped it in.
He had a career high in yards, 297.
There was also some things I hated, and I hated how he was scrambling to try and make a play. Just throw the ball away.
Yeah, definitely. But like I said, when Brandon Wimbush is in his zone, doing what he's good at, like you mentioned, right after the half, he came out, ran the ball for 9 yards, I think, and then he completed 5 straight passes, and most of those were first downs, just one after the other, right on, right where they need to be, and then Boykin tips one, which I think it was kind of blocked, so it was, I think Boykin should have still caught it, because clearly the defender was able to catch a ball worse than that. So Boykin should have still caught that. So I'm not going to completely blame Brandon for that. Yeah, it started with him. It was on Brandon and Boykin because it was tipped, and then Boykin made it that much worse. And the ball that was that much worse, the defender was able to catch. So, and then right after they came back, went right back to Boykin and completed 2 or 3, I think. So technically he went, ran for 9 yards and completed 7 or 9 passes. One of those was a tip pat that should have been caught. I mean, yeah. Right there is, that's his game. That's what he should do. Now, Brandon claims that it was his decision. I don't totally agree with that.
You don't believe him?
Not, I think sometimes there were, but they didn't hand off the ball. He, against Michigan, he would hand off the ball or he would run. He didn't hear. He started running backwards, trying to get away from defenders, and that's a complaint I have with the wide receivers. They didn't do much to help him, like, come back and get open.
And because a couple times when he was scrambling, he did have his eyes downfield looking for guys to get open.
Yeah.
And at least in a couple of the replays, you could see that the guys weren't open. Now, they may have been, just not on camera.
Yeah. So that's why I'm not as worried. When he, you can clearly see in that game that when you play Brandon Wimbush football, he's good. When you try to make him a pocket passer that doesn't run, he's not good. He's not going to win you games like that.
And when you make him a pocket only passer, and there definitely are improvements in Brandon's game. You can see it. I think he feels pressure better. He steps up in the pocket better. He's far from perfect, and he created his own sack on the one play. I guess let's just talk about the, where are we at here?
The quarterback.
Yeah, let's just talk about the quarterbacks, I guess. He created his own sack on the one play. He thought that pressure was coming, but the offensive line actually held up and had him protected. But he was turning around and just stumbled over, I think, his offensive lineman or his own feet, and was sacked.
Yeah, and he was clearly very frustrated with the pressure. There should not have been pressure that Ball State was getting. The only thing I can hope for is that the offensive line was practicing things as well, which I don't think they were. But Wimbush, some of those throws should not have been made. I mean, he got a couple times, there was pressure, he got hit, and he still threw it up, and it was intercepted. You can't make those passes, and he never threw it away. Like, I did not understand that at all. Why not throw it when you're losing yardage? Why not throw it away? He's got to learn to do that, and I'm sure they're telling him over and over this week, throw the ball away. And he's trying to make a play. He thinks he's going to make that big play, and he probably thought, well, it's Ball State, he can do it. Well, you can't. Mm-hmm. You got to make smart decisions, and that's where it comes back to where I think they should have played his style of football versus trying to bring other things in there. So he also had that fumble that was on his blind side. You know, he had no clue that guy was coming. But, you know, in against Michigan, would he have taken off before that happened? So, yeah, there was a lot of things that should have been different, but it still comes back to a lot of how the game was played. It wasn't the right kind of game. It wasn't Brandon Wimbush football.
And I do think, again, as far as the offensive line, like, that can be helped out by play calling and by Brandon Wimbush being more involved in the running game versus just the scrambling game.
Yeah, exactly. And like you said, you know, they don't want to run the ball so he doesn't get hurt. Well, he was getting destroyed back there. So he might as well have run the ball because he was getting hit either way. So that theory, if that's what they were thinking, it was not a good idea.
I still think the hits you're taking are still much more brutal when you're running downhill than when you're... I mean, yeah, you can get destroyed, but the way rules are set up now,
yeah,
it's not as likely that the quarterback gets destroyed in the when he's in the pocket.
Yeah. Well, if you want to know, Brian Wimbush did give himself, graded himself as a D or D minus is what he said.
Before we go through the other different position groups, let's talk about what we got right, what we got wrong. What we got wrong was that Notre Dame would be able to very easily run over Ball State. That obviously goes without saying, I mean.
They didn't score 56 points.
There's so much we got wrong about this game. Pretty much every statistic here. I guess the one thing that we got right was that they would try to improve Brandon Wimbush's passing game. I did.
Yeah,
we did talk about that, and I do think that was one of the things that the coaches were trying to accomplish.
Yeah, exactly.
Was there something else you'd want to point out? Things we got wrong or right? I know there's a lot of things. So. I mean, this is.
It's hard. Everybody's prediction for this game was off, so yeah. Might as well just throw those predictions out the window.
I guess one thing I got right is that Notre Dame wouldn't cover the spread. I still thought it would be a little vaster of a gap.
Yeah.
All right, ready to go through the different position groups?
Yeah.
Let's stick with the offense. Let's go with the offensive line.
We talked about quarterbacks. Ian Book did come in and handed the ball off again and scored a touchdown. I still don't totally understand what's going on there, but it's working. So we all know Ian Book is in the game. We're going to score a touchdown. So, and Brian Kelly said at first he didn't really say, but then the Sunday teleconference, he did say that he never really thought about putting Book in there. So, which shows me that clearly they were practicing and wanted to see what Wimbush was doing.
Well, clearly they were practicing, but I think also they hadn't lost confidence in Brandon, and
no.
Because if they thought that Brandon couldn't get it done, if they thought they were going to lose the game, they would have tried something different.
Yeah, yeah.
Or if they didn't think Brandon gave them the best chance at keeping the win.
Exactly.
All right, offensive line, we talked about them quite a bit. Do you expect to see some shakeups there? We saw it in 2014, I believe. A couple games in where they did switch up the offensive line. I don't expect to see a change. They definitely are struggling, but again, Michigan is an incredible front seven, and I still just think that play calling and Brandon Wimbush running the football is going to help out this offensive line. It's going to make it easier on them to do their jobs.
Yeah, it's... I wish I knew more about what they were doing with the offensive line. I mean, with their pulls and different things like that, because it seemed whenever they were just getting beat. They would move to one side, try to move the pocket, and there was defenders through the line already. You saw guys, I know Bars one time, like he never touched a defensive player on the play. He got up, was ready to block, nobody's there, and he's like looking around. Well, there's a guy past him where he kind of lunged that direction, but it was too late and he missed him. And then I showed you the one screenshot I took where there's four offensive linemen taken up with two defenders, and there's two guys in the backfield getting at Brandon Wimbush, and there's one offensive lineman back there. I think he was laying on the ground. I mean, he clearly got knocked over. But they couldn't handle the speed, it seemed like, and I don't know if it's because they were trying different things or what was going on, but I don't have, that's the one concern I have with this team, is because they had issues with Michigan as well. But if you compare the opponent, Michigan is clearly a lot better, so they didn't play as well in this game as what they did in the Michigan game either. So there was a drop off there. Brian Kelly said they're going to stick with those five guys. I don't know. it's kind of hard to tell because they talked about, you know, bringing Lug in, but then you move Kramer out to tackle. Well, that wasn't the best position. I think Kramer's better at guard. He played right tackle last year. I think it's just one of those things where they got to keep working at it. And, you know, Hainsey has the one is kind of banged up, his one leg. You know, it's not good. You'd want him to, I had thought maybe they would hold him out this game, let him heal up, but I don't know. You got to get these guys reps. It's just hard to tell with the offensive line.
I think they're going to struggle like we expected. They have struggled. I mean, yeah, they're not as dominant as what we've seen in the past, but I think they will. I think they're going to make some progress. All right. Talk about tight ends and wide receivers. Wow, Boykin had a huge game. 6 catches. He did have the one tip, like you mentioned, Randall, but had 6 catches on 8 targets, 119 yards.
And a lot of those were first downs.
Yeah, he does seem to make tough catches, which is what Notre Dame was not doing last year.
Yeah.
From the wide receivers.
Yeah, I thought he had a very good game. Claypool, it's hard to tell because I can't see every play whether he's slowed down. I think there's still times when he quits and when he's not getting the ball. There was one pass that was thrown that was kind of between Fink was closer. It kind of went over Fink, but then it was short for Claypool, and then Claypool kind of motioned like asking if it was for him. And it was in front of him. He didn't really slow down, but it looked like he could put a little more effort into it as well. And even when Brandon Wimbush is scrambling around the backfield, it doesn't seem like the receivers come back. They give up on the plays. And that's clearly one thing that we know Claypool struggled with in the past. And I think they got to step that up and keep trying to help this team instead of just kind of lagging if the ball isn't coming to them. So Fink made some catches as well. I mean, you saw the throw. There was a lot of good passes in this game as well. But yeah, clearly Boykin had a big day, and hopefully you have more faith in him now, Ruben.
I do. I probably was the strongest critic from everyone that I ever heard talk about the wide receiver group, and you know, he definitely had a big game on Saturday and definitely played the best out of all the wide receivers, in my opinion, on Saturday.
Yeah, Alize Mack made 2 catches, 23 yards. Cole Kmet is one guy that was injured. Brian Kelly said they'll be watching his ankle this week to see how he responds. And that's not good because he's a good tight end. He's been blocking well. And I still think at some point he's going to become the number one tight end on the team if he stays healthy.
All right, running backs. Jafar Armstrong.
I'll throw this in. I think with this offensive line struggle, before they start reshuffling the offensive line, they need to do more. They need to get more help with the tight ends. The tight ends helping on the offensive line, stopping the rush, and maybe do more blocking so that Wimbush has time to get the receivers. I mean, even if you kind of take the tight ends out of the passing game a little bit, I think you need to do that maybe before you start reshuffling some of those offensive linemen.
And running backs, Jafar Armstrong, split carries, each had 13. Armstrong for 66 yards and 1 touchdown, and Tony Jones Jr. for 61 yards and 2 touchdowns.
That was one thing I did say they would break away. Jafar did have a chance to break away for a touchdown and got caught.
I thought he was going to get it, but just not quite.
Yeah. Jafar also did very well in the passing game. He made some good catches. He had 3 for 61. He was a second leading receiver, mm-hmm. and he had some good catches. The running back situation, it worries me a little bit. But it helps to know that Dexter's going to be back. 2 more games without Dexter, and he'll be back, and he's definitely the best running back on the team.
I'm not so sure. He's the best running back if he can block, because if he can't block, he's not going to be on the field. So if he
Jafar isn't the best blocker either. He's
getting more carries and or more. Yeah, he's starting ahead of Tony Jones.
He was blocking, and he didn't do the best job blocking.
Well, at least he's putting effort into it. I'm not sure that could always be said for Dexter.
Well, listen, I still say Dexter's going to be the best running back on the team.
As far as a runner of the football, yes. I'm just skeptical if he's going to take snaps away from Jafar Armstrong, especially with how effective he's been in the passing game, too. I think he's going to carry the football, and Dexter...
You remember Dexter's catches in the blue goal game?
Yeah, that was practice. Dexter Williams is very explosive, explosive athlete, and I think he can help make a difference on this football team, but I'm not sure if he's going to change the running game.
Well,
I'm not sure he's going to change Notre Dame's running game.
I think he will, because instead of having Avery Davis out there trying to run the ball, you'll have Dexter, Jafar, and Tony Jones. I mean, that's my opinion. I like Avery Davis and hope he succeeds, but I think he's a year away from being the running back or the player that they want him to be.
I think with his body, I think he's a slot receiver. He's not.
Yeah.
He can't.
If he's going to play running
he's
back,
he's too lean.
He's got to change things, and I think it'll take him a year to get there. I would honestly almost I don't know. Obviously, Avery Davis played. Does that mean the freshman running backs aren't doing well? Like, I would almost rather see them or see Sebo Flemister out there before Avery Davis trying to run the ball. And we did get a chance to see Flemister in the return game. He turned the opening kickoff. Honestly, at this point, I'd rather see him getting carries than Avery Davis. But with this offensive line struggle, that's going to hurt any of these running backs.
Were Davis's two carries, were they out of the backfield?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
I mean, Jafar, he's getting his work in. The good thing about him is that he's excited, a lot of energy, and Brian Kelly said other players need to feed off of that, need to learn from him, but he's also said that about Dexter last year. So I do think once Dexter is back, it's gonna make a big difference in the run game, because you have another good running back, whether he's the number one guy or not, you have another good running back that defenses are going to account for and that you can switch in and out of the game. One big disappointment with the running backs is Tony Jones. I mean, he didn't look too bad. He broke off some of those runs, but to me, being at Notre Dame, being in the system for a couple years, he should not be a backup to Jafar Armstrong.
Oh, I agree, but with my expectations of Tony Jones, he's looked better than my expectations. Because I just had very low expectations coming into this season.
Do you remember all the hype around him as a freshman when he did not play? He's the best running back on the team.
Toughest guy to take down.
The best running back on the team. So,
all right, let's move over to the defensive side of the ball. Notre Dame's defense really did play well, and it did. Ball State's success, I think, all goes to their quarterbacks and the receivers making play. He's fast. I mean, I was shocked how well he evaded and outran, in a lot of cases, Notre Dame's defenders, including Tavon Coney. And it almost looks like he was, could barely be caught by some of Notre Dame's defensive backs.
Well, he's a very good quarterback. And Brian Kelly mentioned it before, that he's an NFL type of quarterback. And clearly, I think that was part of the game plan going the first drive, that long drive that the defense allowed. They were kind of playing, it looked like the corners, everybody was kind of playing off the line of scrimmage and didn't want to give up a big pass, and they didn't. It just kind of dinks and dunks down the field. I mean, how many plays were it? 13 in that drive?
I think it was more than 13.
Anyways, that's it. And then they cracked down. And
it was 19 plays. 19 plays, 85 yards.
And didn't let that happen again. At first, I think they were kind of trying to see what he could do and didn't want to give up a big passing play. But he's clearly a very good cornerback or a quarterback, and the defense respected that.
He did. He passed for 50 times. Was 23 of 50. Had a much lower quarterback rating than Brandon Wimbush. His rating was 74.8. Brandon Wimbush was 116.
I was shocked when I saw he completed a lot of passes on that first drive, but then after that, it seemed like he completed more passes than what the stats said, than what he actually did. But yeah, I thought the defense did very well. In the end, you saw they actually did bring other guys in on the defensive line. There's some of those positions that is one concern with defense where there where guys are not rotating. They're getting a lot of snaps. That's a bad sign for the November that Notre Dame has had. And
yes, completely agree. Let's go through the different position groups. Defensive line.
Okwara actually got the start over Dalen Hayes. So kind of surprising, yet it isn't. He did very well the first week, but he got started, and he played a lot. He was getting a lot of pressure. He missed the sack that he should have had. There was a couple times that they should have had a sack or a tackle guy, and they didn't get it.
He did lead the team with 4 quarterback hurries.
Yeah. So he's doing very good. And then Khalid Kareem almost intercepted that one pass. That was very it'd been nice to see him get that, but he kept it going from last week. Did he actually record a sack?
Not a sack, but he had 1 tackle for loss and 2 quarterback hurries, and he was credited with a pass breakup for that. So he did
make that
in the stat sheet.
And then we saw a rotation on defensive line. I mean, obviously you had the normal guys rotating in and out, but then at the end of the game they were bringing in Du Treadway. There was one of the last drives, Micah Du Treadway, Justin Adamalola, Jason Adamalola, and Jameer Jones were in there at the same time. So they had rotation. Kurt Heinisch played, got some good tackles. So they had, that was one position where they kind of went beyond the second string guys and got more guys some reps than other positions. I thought they did very well. I mean, they're getting pressure. I expect them to get more sacks, but you know they do have a good quarterback, and so I thought they did good.
All right, and then at linebacker, Tavon Coney led the team, 14 tackles. Seemed like
he's on track for over 150 tackles this season.
He also recorded the only sack and had 3 tackles for loss and 1 quarterback hurry.
Yeah, very, very impressive. But the downside is that Coney and Tranquil have played every snap against Michigan and Ball State. Or pretty much, there's only maybe a couple. I don't think we even saw any other linebackers in those two games yet. For their two, I mean, they're playing every snap, which is bad. And that is a big concern. Yeah. I mean, here's where they should have been able to get somebody else in the game. But clearly, those two guys led the team in tackles. And they need to be in there on the defense.
That is a huge concern for the end of the season. Notre Dame needs to be able to keep them fresh through November.
And then as far as the rover position, Bilal, I think he did some really good things. He made some plays. I noticed it more than against Michigan, but he made some big plays. There was a time where he missed a tackle they should have made, but I thought he did pretty good. One thing I noticed about Coney rewatching the game, he has a sense and for knowing what's going to happen, and he had actually motioned another guy in play. He got Elliott. He started motioning him, telling him to get over to the other side, and Elliott did, but he was a little too slow, and it ended up being a play on that side, but Coney called it. I mean, he knew what was happening. That's what happened. Elliott was just slow getting there. So clearly Coney is a leader out there and is showing it with the stats as well.
And then defensive backs, the cornerbacks.
Oh, I'll just throw this in. Bilal, the one question with him was his coverage skills. And he did go out in coverage and broke up a pass in the end zone. It would have been a touchdown, but he had the guy covered, and it was an incomplete pass. So he showed some skill in coverage as well.
Was Coney targeted much in the passing game? Did you think about it?
I didn't really think about it. He's just always where the ball's at, so.
All right, defensive backs. Let's start with the cornerbacks. Julian Love had 8 tackles, 4 pass breakups. Troy Pride, it seemed he was targeted a lot, but he ended up with 7 tackles and 1 pass breakup. Are you still, what's your sense of Pride? Do you think he has lived up to the hype? And is it just me, or has he been targeted more heavily than what Julian Love has been?
Oh, I definitely think he's been targeted more because Love has shown what he can do. I mean, 4 pass breakups just in this game, and he showed it all of last year. And so Pride, I mean, we knew that Pride was going to get targeted a lot. Right at first, I was a little frustrated with Pride. He seemed a little bit slow, wasn't quite making the tackles, let the guys gain a few more yards, but he did lock down and played pretty good. And here's 2 more guys that are basically playing every snap.
Houston Griffith did come in. He did record a pass breakup, but this is just where you get to see how a freshman looks. I mean, he looked out of place. He looked slow. He looked about a step and a half behind. And he'll get there. I'm sure he'll get there. But you just got to see how different
there
he looked
different,
compared to Julian Love or Troy Pride.
Yeah, he came in, and the one play, he was just slow to turn around and get after the guy. I mean, he came in as a nickelback. And he was just slow to get after the guy, and then he had an interception. He should have had, it was right there. He could have had his first career interception, but he didn't make the catch. But you know, there's signs that he's going to be good. It's not, but you can still see there's a little bit of a drop off. He's still the freshman out there, but he is being looked at as the nickel guy. And Brian Kelly talked about how they've been kind of cross training him with the nickel and the safety position, but they need to get him locked down to more one position so he can focus on that versus trying to cross train him. And I think they want to get him more at the nickel position and maybe keep Coleman a little more with the safeties. But
and Coleman did have a pass breakup that led to one of Jalen Elliott's interceptions.
Yeah, I thought Coleman's look at the defensive backs. Wouldn't expect this out of the guys that we had last year. They've stepped up their game.
Well, and this is why you expect in college, you expect guys to get better every year, and that's one reason I think we were optimistic about Wimbush. We were very much show me, but also optimistic that Wimbush could make noticeable improvements in his or as a passer.
Yeah.
All right, then with the safeties. I mean, I don't know who deserves more credit, Gilman for being Gilman and getting all the safeties to step up, or the coaching, you know, having a dedicated coach back there with the safeties.
I don't know, but maybe Terry Joseph for getting all these safeties up to the level they're playing at, because Jalen Elliott is clearly a different safety than he was last year. He's much better. Gilman, I mean, I was a new guy, but he's just everywhere, up on the line, making plays. And then Elliott got his first career interception, and then he made a second one. So, very impressive. The Notre Dame safeties are finally getting interceptions. And Elliott did get the game ball, and I think it was well-deserved. And he's stepped up his game, and I'm very impressed. And even Coleman, I mean, we talked about him a little bit. You know, he had some pass breakups on big plays, on third downs. And you mentioned how he deflected that pass for Elliott. I think they're definitely the bright spot on this defense right now.
Gilman came to Notre Dame because he wanted a chance to play in the NFL. And I was skeptical, thought it was high dreams. But the way he's been playing the first 2 weeks of the season, he definitely has a chance at making an NFL or getting drafted in the NFL.
Yeah, he's playing very well.
All right, special teams.
Up and down again. I mean, the special teams should be way more consistent than what they are. Was the opening kick with that Ball State fumbled? It was one of the first ones of the game.
It wasn't the opening
Not the opening. I mean, Notre Dame started with the ball, but one of the first, they fumbled it, and the guy reached. It was a terrible challenge. Brian Kelly, I don't know why they challenged that. Who told him to challenge that? But Brian Kelly is now 0-2 on coaches' challenges, so he's got to change that. But Fink fumbled that punt, and they said it wasn't there, but that it was a fumble in my mind. He lost that ball before he hit the ground. So there was a little bit of scare there. Hopefully he's got that out of the way now and he's good to go. But that was a little scary to see Jonathan Dewar still up and down. I mean, he showed he can kick it into the end zone, but then he also kicked it out of bounds again. So that's got to get taken care of. Newsom, short punt, then a long punt. I mean, it's just so up and down. The whole special teams is there's no consistency. Yoon misses a field. He missed a field goal, and then he makes a tough one. I mean, he's just they're all just up and down. You never know what's going to happen.
We've been critical of Dell Alexander, wide receiver coach, and the wide receivers have stepped up this season.
Yeah.
At what point is it time to hold Brian Pullian's feet to the fire and give him some blame and ask for some results out of special teams? And I know he does. He also is a recruiting coordinator, so he's not just special teams coach, but he is the special teams coach.
Yeah, but I give the special teams coach a little more grace just because they don't practice it near as much as what, like, a wide receiver coach, that's what they're doing all the time. They're being wide receivers. Special teams is taking players from all these other positions and trying to get them to do something extra. I would say they need to spend more time, especially in practice, before you start fussing about the coach, maybe.
You really want to take time away from Brandon Wimbush and this offense and the offensive line? And I guess the offensive line probably won't be, be that involved.
I guess you could say it's not this. I mean, the coverage and things like that was about. It's the position. Those actually, they go, Yoon, Newsom, and Dewar, all they're doing is kicking. They're not out there practicing.
It's not the return team or the coverage team.
Yeah. I mean, Chris Fink defund, but that's going to happen sometimes. But it's the guys that their specialty. They have one thing to do, and they need to get that straightened out. So far, it hasn't cost them, but it could.
Well, we said it against Michigan. You know, that game like that can come down to special teams.
Yeah.
And Michigan made it closer with a special teams play.
Yeah.
And it definitely, Notre Dame's going to be in more one possession games where special teams can make a difference, where it will make a difference, either in Notre Dame's favor or against it. Randall, we had a winner for the Main Street Coffee, and I think this one was from Instagram.
Yes, try and pull it up.
I have it here. Okay. _ JMill15 was the closest winner for the Notre Dame's victory over Ball State. So we'll be sending him a coupon code for 1 pound of coffee. And then when you check out your coffee, after you make the purchase, it's free. We'll also be including a Irish Sports Talk mug with that order as well. So you can... To complete this, go to mainstreetroasters.com, use the coupon code that we'll be sending you, and you'll get a free pound of coffee. And of course, the coffee is so good, it's worth paying for. And I'm pretty confident that after someone gets free coffee, that they like it so much, they'll go back for some more coffee. And if you do ever do that, be sure to mention in the checkout notes that you are a listener of Irish Sports Talk. That way, they have an idea how many sales we're sending their way. And I'm telling you, it's the coffee that I drink. It's a local coffee shop in town. I love it. Probably, we talked last week about what our favorite coffee is from there. And as far as my favorite, we talked about Costa Rican and the El Salvadorian. But the Main Street blend, their house coffee, is delicious. And they always have it at the coffee shop. So maybe if you just want to get started, that would be the place to start. Just the Main Street blend. All right, and of course we'll be doing that next week again, so be ready for your score prediction. Do some research if you want some free coffee. Go ahead, Randall.
Yes, we're so caught up in the recap of this game that we also forgot to mention that Notre Dame did pick up another commitment, even though us fans
who would want to go play for Notre Dame, Randall? They're terrible.
They made a good impression on one recruit, and Kendall Abdur Rahman from Illinois committed to Notre Dame, and he's listed as an athlete. He plays quarterback wide receiver. He does a lot of things, but he is a quarterback in Edwardsville, Illinois. 6'1", 180. His coach, he's supposed to have been clocked in under 4.440, very fast. And Notre Dame is recruiting him as a wide receiver. So they add another wide receiver to the class, and he's number 18. So Notre Dame is up to number 18. They got some other announcements coming up here in the next few weeks where guys have announced the date they're deciding, making their commitment. And Notre Dame is in the top schools for some of those. But Solon's been doing a great job on the forums, keeping us informed on that. And he actually predicted this commitment to Notre Dame. But, yeah, it's kind of forget about recruiting in the middle of football season, but that is still happening. And Notre Dame's still out on the road doing their committing or recruiting, trying to pick up commitments. So Kendall Abdur-Rahman is officially part of the Notre Dame class.
We'd love to hear your thoughts on our take on this game. Or do you agree with us that there's no reason to be alarmed, the sky is not falling, or do you take a different stand that, oh yeah, Notre Dame's in bad shape and Notre Dame's going to be lucky to make a to be in the running for a top top bowl game.
Yeah.
So tell us your thoughts. Tweet us at Irish Sports Talk. Join the forums. It's completely free. If you do use the forums, we do ask that you would use our Amazon link, Amazon affiliate link. They give a little kickback to Irish Sports Talk, and it helps fund the forums. So it is free to join, but it's not free to host. And so that will help with our hosting costs. So that's forums.irishsportstalk.net. Before you go to Amazon, just click on the link, and you'll be taken to Amazon's homepage where you can make all your Amazon purchases. You won't be charged anything extra. You won't even know or see any difference. Thank you guys for listening. Until next time, go Irish.
Go Irish.